Brother Ellis, worship team. If you have your Bible, if you turn with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. We'll be looking at how to deal with difficulties. One of the difficulties I'm having right now is this is a new microphone and it's not fitting my ear correctly. So we'll see if I can deal with that tonight. I read a story this week about a Belgian lady. She wanted to travel 90 miles to Brussels to a train station to pick up her friend. Problem was, her GPS took her 900 miles in the wrong direction. She wound up in Croatia. Now, if you're geographically challenged like me, that really doesn't mean anything to you. So I had a map put on this week, and I don't know if you can really see that or not. But here's the key. Belgium is the red dot over there on that end of the picture. That's Belgium and Brussels. And it goes through Germany. You might can read Germany up there. And then all the way over to Croatia, to Zagreb, the capital of Croatia. So she traveled 900 miles in the wrong direction. She said she didn't realize there was a problem until the second day of her travel. Now, she stopped twice for gas. She slept on the side of the road. And she was even in a minor accident on this 900-mile travel in the wrong direction. The authorities are not sure if she put in the wrong address or if the GPS device malfunctioned, but she told reporters, "I must not have been paying attention." Really? You think maybe that was the problem? She said, "I was distracted, so I kept on driving. I saw all kinds of traffic signs. I saw some in French, then some in German, and then some in Croatian." That might have been a clue that you have left Brussels, but hey, you know. Then she says, "Suddenly I appeared in Zagreb and I realized I wasn't in Belgium anymore." It took her 900 miles to figure out that she wasn't in Belgium anymore. That would be like if you got in your car tonight and you were going to drive to Tallahassee Airport. It's about 85 miles. But somehow you got on the interstate and you went the wrong direction. And there's another map up here that shows where you would end up. San Antonio, Texas. That's not quite 900 miles, but there's really nothing on the other side of San Antonio that I could pick a city. So we just stop at San Antonio, 800 and something miles, I believe it is. So instead of going 90 miles from that red arrow to the red arrow on the right, you're driving to the red arrow on the left. And then you get there and you realize, oh, I'm in the wrong place. Now, I don't know about how much you put your trust in your GPS device. I put a lot of trust in my GPS device. I use an app called Waze, and I love it. I enjoy it. It uses little data. If you're on a data plan that's monitored, then this is the one for you. But I think if I had crossed into another country and saw signs in a different language, it might have triggered that I was going in the wrong place. But she was a little distracted and not paying attention. And sometimes we go through life that way. We're not paying attention. We're distracted by the world and its pleasures. And we put trust in someone or something that we shouldn't. Someone once said, "Misplaced trust never turns out well." This lady put trust in a GPS device and wound up 900 miles in the wrong direction. But what is it in our lives that we've put trust in that has us maybe in the wrong direction, maybe off the right track? What is it that we're trusting in? We must be discerning in who or what we trust in this life. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word that gives us guidance. We thank you for your Holy Spirit also guides us and instructs us. And God, I pray tonight we learn from this psalm from David what we can do when we face difficulties, who to turn to, where to look. God, hide me behind the cross. Pray that you give me a freedom to speak tonight your truth. I pray you give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We all face difficulties and struggles in life. And I want us to look at David and what he says here in Psalm 31. When he had dangerous and challenging and difficult situations, what did he do? How did he handle those situations? If you look with me at Psalm 31, 1 through 4, we'll begin there. Psalm 31, verses 1 through 4. They're on the screen if you'd like to look there, or if you have your own copy of God's Word, please follow along. David says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. David was in a bad place. On numerous occasions, he found himself in dangerous situations. He found himself in terrible circumstances. Remember, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David was going to check on his brothers. His dad had asked him to leave the sheep to go and check on his brothers. They were in the Israelite army, and the Israelites were fighting the Philistines. He gets there, and he sees that there is one Philistine, the Philistine giant, their champion, their hero, Goliath, 9 feet, 6 inches tall, and he is mocking them. He is cursing them. He is mocking the God of Israel. But no one will step up and challenge him. They're afraid. David volunteers, and Saul says, "You're just a boy. He's been a soldier, a warrior all of his life. How can you do this?" David said to him, "When I've been watching my father's sheep, I have protected them from lions and from bears." Now, mind you, he did not have a rifle, did not have a shotgun, but only a club in his bare hands. And he says, "I rescued sheep from out of the mouth of a lion." David was in a dangerous situation as a shepherd. But he also now found himself in a dangerous situation in front of a 9 foot 6 inch giant who had been a warrior since he was young. No one would go out to fight him, but David says, "I will." Remember what Goliath said to him when he stepped out to fight him? He said, "What am I, a dog?" And he cursed David, and he cursed David's God. And David said, "You come at me with sword and shield and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord." David put his trust in God. Then before David became the king, King Saul was trying to kill him. He was jealous of him, and he would send his army after him, try to find him and capture him and kill him. Even his own son, David's son Absalom, led a revolt and a rebellion to become king, and he again was running for his life. David faced many dangerous, difficult situations, and he declares in verse 1, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust." It sounds like a good church answer. And you came back tonight to hear me tell you, here's how you face difficulties. Trust God. Let's go home. Really? That's what you're going to tell me? I've been a Christian for 50 years and you're going to tell me to trust God? Well, what else do you think you should do? Trust someone else? Or would you want to trust the creator of the universe and the one who has your best interest at heart? Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a good church answer. You know, whenever you're sitting in Sunday school and the teacher asks you a question, it's always, "Jesus, trust God." Yeah, it's a good church answer, but it is the answer. It's easy to say, but it's not easy to implement. Just trust God. Now, it's easy when things are going your way, when all your prayers have been answered just like you wanted to be answered, but when difficulties come, do you really trust God? Or do you start trying to find someone else or something else to trust in? You see, when things don't go our way, what's going to happen then? When God says to our prayers, "Wait," or when he says no, how do we respond then? We must realize that he is still in control, and he is the one who's working to bring about the best for us. In verse 1, he says, "Deliver me in your righteousness." Thank you, brother. Every time I stand up and speak, my mouth goes dry. If someone could make a straw go from about down there to up here, and we put a hole right here and have a straw, and then I could just sip on it. I'm going to set it right there, and it's going to fall and spill, but that's okay. We'll get a mop. Thank you, Brother Wendell. Verse 1c says, "Deliver me in your righteousness." Because God is a righteous God, he will take care of those who trust him. It doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. It doesn't mean that life is going to always be fair. But it means that God is going to take care of us. If someone told you that life is fair, they lied to you. If someone told you that, well, when you become a Christian, you won't have any more problems and life will just turn out just right, they lied to you. But what they should have told you is that God will always be there for you. Life is not fair. But whether in this life or in the one to come, God is going to make all things right. And he's working even now in the unfairness of this life to bring about good for his children. It's through the struggles of this life that we grow, that we mature, and that he refines us. And so we should look forward to those times where God refines us, even if it means we face struggles. In verse 2, David says, "Bow down your ear to me," speaking to God. "Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me." The psalmist is stressing the urgency of the situation. David needs help, and he needs it right now. He says, "Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. I need help, God, right now." He says that you are my rock of refuge. You see on the screen, refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. And that's where David spent a lot of his life, running from trouble. But he found that God was his refuge, that place where he could be safe, where he was sheltered from danger and trouble. Where do you turn when you're running from the danger and the trials of this life? David turns to the Lord. He finds safety and protection in the Lord. There are times that we need physical protection. There are other times that we need emotional and spiritual protection. So what do you do when you get a bad report from the doctor? What do you do when you have difficulties in your marriage, difficulties in parenting, difficulties at school, difficulties at work, difficulties with life? When things don't turn out the way you hoped, what do? David says, take refuge in the Lord. Seek him, trust him, rely on him. When we find ourselves in these situations, we usually have questions. We have concerns. We say, God, why is this happening? Don't you love me? Maybe we turn away from God, we get mad at him, but shouldn't we turn to him, the one who loves us, the one who knows all? Look on the screen at this statement. Never let your circumstances determine your value or your worth, nor let them make you think that God doesn't love you. Never let your circumstances determine your value or your worth. You see, sometimes circumstances can make us feel worthless. But God says, you're of great value to me. And don't let them make you think that God doesn't love you. It's easy to say, God, why has this happened to me? I've just come out of this trial, this struggle, and now this is hitting me. God, don't you love me? Look to the cross, where God demonstrated his love for all of us. A once and for all, best demonstration, because he did not even hold back his son for us. Never question, does God love you? On the cross, Jesus said, I love you. And he shed his blood for us. Not because of anything he had done, but because we are guilty of sin. And so we always look at the cross and say, God, I know you love me. I don't understand what's happening in my life right now. I don't understand these trials and the struggles and the difficulties. But I know one thing, you love me. And if I remember, I remember something else too, God. You're always working good out of those troubling situations for those who love you, those who are called according to your purpose. Know that God loves you. In verse 3, David says, for you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. My rock and my fortress. He's describing God as a safe place, a strong place, a place of protection. That's what God has been for him through those difficult and challenging times. Verse 4, he says, pull me out of the net where they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Most scholars believe this is a reference to 1 Samuel chapter 23 when David went to defeat the Philistines and rescue the city of Keilah. Listen at 1 Samuel chapter 23, 12 through 14. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men at the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed for Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. You see, David had gone up to rescue this city, a city where the Philistines were coming at Keilah. And it was a city that had a wall around it. And so David went there to help this city. And as he defeats the Philistines, he inquires of the Lord, are they going to now protect me, or are they going to turn us over to Saul? And God lets him know, no, they're going to turn you over. They're going to tell Saul where you are. You're going to be trapped inside this walled city where Saul and his army can come now and find you, and you're trapped there, and they will get you and kill you. And so David flees. Verse 4, back to Psalm 31. Pull me out of the net where they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. David asked God, what should I do? Should I stay here, or are they going to turn us over? God says they're going to turn you over. He entrusted himself into God's hand. He sought the Lord. He trusted that God would answer him. He trusted that God would tell him the truth. And he got out of there, and God spared him. Where do you turn when tragedy strikes? Where do you turn when difficulties arise? Yes, we have friends. Yes, we have a spouse. Yes, we have a parent. We have ourselves. We have other things to escape to, but what should we trust in? Where should we turn? In 2009, there was a bakery in, oddly enough, Croatia, that had a problem with break-ins. So what did they do? As a joke, the employees put up a poster of Chuck Norris. And underneath it, they put a sign, "This shop is under the protection of Chuck Norris." Well, guess what? When the sign went up, when the poster went up, the break-in stopped. One of the workers says the idea worked better than anyone thought. She says, "Everyone in town is familiar with Chuck Norris movies. Even the thieves seem to respect him, and they've left the shop alone." She says, "Since the sign went up, several people have stopped to ask for the actor's autograph. They really believe he's hiding in the back, waiting to jump out at burglars when they come in." This lady turned to Chuck Norris, but David turned to the Lord. David went to the one who was his rock, his fortress, his refuge. He trusted in God. In verse 5 it says, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Doesn't that first part of that verse sound familiar? Jesus said those words just before he breathed his last. "Into your hand I commit my spirit." Jesus entrusted his death to the hands of the Lord. David is entrusting his life to the hands of God. The hand of the enemy was against David, but he knew he was safe in God's hands. When the enemy comes against us, we must realize that we can be safe. Our refuge, our shelter, our protection is in the Lord. In verse 6 and verse 14, he says, "I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. But as for me," verse 14, "I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." To trust in the Lord, to depend on Him, to lean on Him. In 2015, the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department purchased a rug that was going to lay outside their office. It cost $500. It was supposed to have the words, "In God we trust." I don't know if it was how it was on there, but it was embroidered or whatever. But it was supposed to say, "In God we trust." Well, the word "God" got misspelled. The letters got rearranged, and it said, "In dog we trust." Well, where are you going to put your trust? Now, I don't know if it's supposed to be Dog the Bounty Hunter or a dog, or they just misspelled it or misunderstood what it's supposed to be. But it took about 2 months for them for someone to see the typo and for them to replace that rug. And on the side note, I read this afternoon, looked it up, wanted to see if the story was true, so I found it by Googling, of course. And they donated that rug to a pet shelter. And they were going to auction all the things. Well, they paid $500 for it. We should at least get $500. They got over $9,000 in an auction for that rug that said, "In dog we trust." Now, I don't know where you're going to put your trust, but I hope it's not in a dog. So who or what are you trusting? Remember, misplaced trust never turns out well. How are you handling life? God wants us to trust Him, especially during the tough times. He wants to be our rock. He wants to be our fortress. He wants to be our place of refuge. Remember, when others do evil, trust God for His strength. When life isn't fair, trust in the Lord. When circumstances are tough, trust Him to be your rock. How do we handle difficulties? I know it sounds so simple, but David says, trust the Lord. David trusted the Lord in the face of lions, bears, Goliath, the armies of the Philistines, the Israelite army commanded by Saul. When his son was after him trying to kill him, he trusted in God. He didn't trust his own men. He didn't trust his own wit, his own physical abilities, and he was a mighty warrior, but he trusted in the Lord. Secondly, I would say how to deal with difficulties. Verse 7 and verse 21, we see David says to praise the Lord. Verse 7, he says, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. David is rejoicing that he has received help from the Lord. Mercy here refers to God's faithful love. As we know, that love that God has for us is unconditional. It's undeserved, but he loves us in spite of the fact that we sin every day. We fail to keep his commands. We fail to tell others about his wonderful love. We fail to love God above all else. We fail to love others as we should. We fail to read and meditate and memorize his word, and yet he loves us. Verse 8 says, and have not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. In a wide place? Yes, David had been in many tight places in his life. He knew what it was to be in a tight place, and now he says, God, you have freed me from that. You have put me in a wide place. He's describing the fact that he'd been freed from these experiences, from these dangerous experiences and circumstances, and saying, God, you have set my feet on a wide place. So let me ask you this. How many times has God rescued you? How many times has he been your refuge? Has he been your rock, your fortress, your deliverer? And yet, we fail to praise him. Sometimes we remember to thank him. Right after we've been rescued, right after we're, God, please do this, and I'll do all this for you. If you'll just do this for me, God, I'll do it. And then we think, oh, thank you, God, for doing that. And we turn to walk away and forget all about it until the next time we're in trouble. Then we turn back to God and, oh, thank you, God, for rescuing me. Brother Bob Wells reminded us at Triple L meeting a couple of months ago and on a Wednesday night prayer meeting. I think I mentioned it before, but you know, he says we have all these this list of prayer requests, but we don't stop to thank God for all the answers that he's given us. And that night, Brother Bob mentioned several that he could think off the top of his head and how God had answered this prayer and this prayer and this prayer, and we stopped to give him thanks. We've sung the old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. And I remember growing up, a music director would stop and say, we're going to sing this different. We're going to sing it, name them ton by ton. But you know what? We never stopped to name anything. We never stopped to name one blessing. We sing a song, 10,000 reasons, and yet we never stopped to name one reason why we want to praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to stop for the next 30 to 60 seconds. And if you have something to write with, if there's a pen in front of you, if you have something to write on, I want you to write down some things that you want to give praise to the Lord for. Now, I don't want a book, a story. I just think, you know, I'll praise him for his grace. A one word, one sentence, one phrase. What would you want to give praise to the Lord for tonight? And so if you'll take 30 to 60 seconds to think about that, and then I'm going to ask you, you don't have to stand up, you don't have to come forward, but I do want to hear you just shout it out, what you want to give praise to the Lord. So while I take a drink of water, you write. And we'll come back in a second. Keep writing if you like, but remind you what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to worry about anything. We can trust the Lord. But we should also, when we bring our petitions to him, bring it with thanksgiving. The psalmist also said in Psalm 95, 1 through 3, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." So I ask you, what would you want to give praise to the Lord for tonight? Someone over here, start us out. Mercy, salvation, faithfulness, grace, all of it. Keep on shouting. I can't hear you. It's Holy Spirit. Keep shouting. Joy, peace, love, wisdom, Jesus. Jesus, his word. I thank him for my church family. Thank him for his forgiveness, for his people who have forgiven me and believed in me and encouraged me, for friendships, for people who pray for me, my family, my wife, my children. My mom, my siblings, my Aunt Lydia that nobody here knows but helped raise me. What do you want to give praise to the Lord for? Just being God's. Tonight, I've asked Brother Ellis to sing the song 10,000 Reasons. And as we sing, just a moment, you stand to sing. You may want to stand right where you are, just sing it to the Lord. You might want to come to this front and just tell him what you want to praise him for. You may want to come and say, "God, I know I haven't trusted you. I put my faith and trust in myself. I've trusted something else, but I haven't trusted you. And I want to renew my trust and commitment to you." You may want to come and say, "Brother Bobby, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, and I need to have him as my Savior and Lord." You may want to come and say, "This is a church where I want to plug in and join, and it's where I feel God wants me to be." Whatever God's calling you to do tonight, would you just feel the freedom to do so as we sing 10,000 Reasons to Praise Him?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.